for rescue today by Reverend John Park. He's going to give us a message for today, and we're pleased to have him do that. Marilyn, would you please tell Pastor Dick that we made it through? Nobody ran out the door either. Okay, Pastor Dick, or John.
You can also tell him I'm not going to preach from his text, so if he has his sermon ready, he can use it next week. And I also apologize to you all because you all heard the announcement later that it's going to be a really short sermon. Maybe not. I want to talk today about a parable Jesus taught. I think it's probably most people's absolute favorite teaching. And I also think we don't always hear what Jesus meant with this sermon. So, reading from the Gospel of Luke, the parable of the prodigal son. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. There he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. He went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of the country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating. No one would give him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare, and here I am dying of hunger? I will get up and go to my father. I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. While he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father called to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one. Put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.' They began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field. When he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come. Your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you. I've never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I may celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me. All that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" May God bless His Word in our hearts. First thing I want to do is help you realize how really despicable the young boy was. I mean, think of where it starts. He comes to his father and he says, "Father, give to me your inheritance." When do you get your inheritance? When the person dies. This young son has just come to his father and said, "Dad, I'm tired of waiting for you to die. Will you give me my inheritance now?" What a miserable thing for a son to say. And amazement, the father does. Soon as he gets his money, he runs off to a far country. Think Las Vegas. In Las Vegas, he has so many friends. Why? Because he's always throwing parties. And all his friends come to the party and they have a good time. And well, the problem is he's spending his inheritance. He's not getting any money. Eventually, he runs out of money. Guess what? As soon as he runs out of money, he runs out of friends. And he's all alone in this far off country. He knows he needs to work, and it's hard to find work because this terrible famine has set in. So he goes to job after job, and finally he finds a job as a swineherd, taking care of pigs. The scriptures say he gets to the point where he would like to eat the slop that they're feeding the pigs. Except that in Palestine, that is kind of weeds and pods off trees. The stuff they feed the pigs in Palestine won't digest in a human stomach. So it wouldn't do him any good to eat it anyway. Now, here's the one glimmer of hope we have for this son. Shepherds, swineherds, anybody who takes care of animals in Palestine, they have this one perk to their job. One of their animals dies and they can prove they didn't have to do anything with the death. They can eat that. This kid is taking care of pigs. And you gotta figure, sooner or later a pig dies. But he's Jewish. And Jews won't eat pork. And this poor boy that's starving to death holds on to the laws of his ancestors, even though he's starving. Finally, he comes to his senses. You know, even my dad's slaves get enough to eat. I'm going to go home. I'm going to beg Dad's forgiveness. I'm going to be asked, just to be one of his slaves from now on. So he starts home. And as you read the scripture, he practices his speech the whole way home. "Father, I have sinned against God and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Please treat me like one of your hired servants." Now, you need to realize, I think he's practicing his speech because he's got two things he's afraid of. The obvious one is, what's Dad going to say when he comes home? But this was a time when honor was really important. When this kid pulled this, "Dad, I wish you were dead," took his inheritance and left, he shamed his family. And if you could imagine that situation, people probably came into town, heard what this stupid kid had done, and they went on to the next town and talked about it. He had shamed the entire town. Before he got home, he would have to walk up the main street of town with all his neighbors knowing who he was, what he did, and watching him come. They would have thrown things at him. They would have sicked their dogs on him. They would have really treated him miserably. And then he had to be judged by his dad. Except the Bible says his father was watching for him. And when he saw him at the edge of town, he ran to greet him, because his father was a respected man and nobody would do anything to him as he walked through town. But there's a whole other thing here. I mean, some people say, where in the prodigal son is there any punishment? Right? Jesus took our punishment on himself. Where is that in the prodigal son? I want you to picture the father. This was a time when men didn't wear pants. Everybody wore robes. Ladies, have you ever been wearing a long formal dress and tried to run in it? It doesn't work, does it? What do? You pull it up. Picture this old, respected man with his skirt pulled up to his waist, running down the main street of town. Every person in town is going to be out in the street laughing at that sight. Jesus took our punishment. The Father took the Son's punishment. Brought him home, huge celebration, because he was welcome. The Son starts the speech he's been practicing. Father, I have sinned against God and before you. And before he can go any further, the Father is yelling, bring him a robe, bring him the ring, bring him the special celebration meal, because we're going to celebrate. My Son has come home. Isn't that a beautiful story of the Father in heaven and his love for us? No matter what we do, God loves us enough to take our punishment, to forgive us our sin, and to take us into the blessedness of his kingdom. Isn't that a beautiful story? That's not the lesson Jesus is teaching, believe it or not. I want you to think about how the story goes on. Out in the field is the elder brother. You know what the Greek word for elder is? It's presbyteros. We are Presbyterians because we have a government based on elders. The elder brother. This is the guy who had a reputation in town for how wonderful he is. I mean, this other kid ran off and did who knows what, and he stayed home and worked in the fields and took care of the house and watched over Dad. I picture this kid taking Dad to synagogue every Sabbath. Maybe being a part of the synagogue staff, doing amazing things for people, having lots of friends in town. This is the good boy, right? Except, as the older brother, when the younger brother started saying, you know, Dad, I want to get my inheritance and leave town. It's the older brother's responsibility to try to make peace between his brother and his father. Does it say that in the story? Kind of picture this older brother stepping back and saying, oh good, he's finally going to be out of here and I don't have to put up with him anymore. He comes home. Dad's all excited. They throw the party. He's out working. He's coming towards the house. He hears the singing. He calls one of the slaves over, asks what's going on. The slave explains it to him, and he just stands there scowling. We get to see God again. Do you remember the father who ran through town to bring one son home? He's heading out to the field. Try and talk some sense into his other son. The son says, "Why are you celebrating this son of yours?" Notice, son of yours. No relative to me, uh-uh. When he left, I was happy. And he comes up with he wasted your money with prostitutes. I remember seeing that part either, did you? I mean, it's like this kid's making up things to make his brother look even worse. Father pleads with him. This brother of yours has come home. We didn't know what he was like before. We didn't know if he was dead or alive, but he's home and he's alive and he's part of the family again. He comes out and he pleads with his son to come to the house and celebrate. What does the older son do? We have no idea. The father invites him to come home, turns and goes back to the party, and the parable doesn't say what happens to the older son. You want to know why? Instead of starting at the parable of the prodigal son, if you go all the way back to the beginning of the 15th chapter, you hear these words. All the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. The Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling, saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them, and there's actually three parables that he tells. This is the last and the most complex. Jesus is saying to the scribes and the Pharisees, "These are God's children. They're coming home. Can't you celebrate that?" And he doesn't know how they're going to answer. The story ends there. Jesus is saying to scribes and Pharisees and Presbyterians, "How do you treat the people who try to come home to God? Yes, God loves you immeasurably and will forgive you anything you do. But what about the others? What do you do to let them know God loves them too?" Let's pray. Oh God, we rejoice in your love for us. How amazing to know that at the end of our worst day of doing terrible things, you're still willing to forgive us. Jesus has still taken our sin, and we are your beloved children. But God, as we marvel in your love for us, help us always to remember your love for others as well. Oh God, open our eyes to see those who need a kind word, a little help, a smile, and a welcome. For they are your children as much as we are. Amen. Our final hymn for the morning is number 567.
just stand, will you? Just a couple of quick things here. We are looking for ushers to take up the offering from now until the end of December. That's the rest of this year. So if you're interested in doing that, would you please see me today or next Sunday at the latest, or let me know that you're willing to help out. And at this time, I'd like to thank Reverend Park for helping the station out. We appreciate your help very, very much. Thank you.
You're welcome. Never stop being amazed at God's love for you. It is so deep, so caring. But as you remember His love for you, remember He loves your neighbor as well. Show to them kindnesses, caring, and love. Amen.